Welcome to Be Bold America. I'm your host, Jill Cody. Be Bold America is a live biweekly talk show for those who are motivated to step out with the bold actions necessary to reunite this country and reclaim our democracy. Be Bold America is for those who want to understand the unique challenges ahead and who are curious to learn what they can keep doing, stop doing, and start doing to reclaim our democratic republic. Our future depends on it. Our program today is Climate Collusion. Is the anemic news coverage of the crisis ignorance or intentional? This past week was the 50th anniversary of Earth Day, and mainstream news media outlets, after 50 years, are still slow to recognize and report on the climate. Is it out of ignorance, arrogance, or both? In the vacuum, disinformation campaigns have filled the void, fueled by right-wing media and oil industry money. This is only happening in our country, not in any others. This is because more than 90% of radio hosts are conservative, and they play a big part of the fostering denialism in our country. What corporate news organizations choose to focus on determines what the public is focused upon. And this narrow vision contributes to ignorance, avoidance, and the lack of response. To compound the problem, media managers don't see it as their duty to provide solutions. So whose responsibility is it? What possibly could go wrong? We have big things to do. Before tackling this topic, I wanted to say that Betsy Rosenberg, Dr. Richard Nolthinius, and I are calling into the studio from home. But our program engineer, Emily Dunham, is in the studio sitting at the boards coordinating the program. So if any of our phones drops the call, Betsy, Rick, or I will just call back into Emily. Now on with the show. Before I introduce our expert guest, Betsy Rosenberg, I'd like to introduce our local community guest, Dr. Richard Nolthinius. Dr. Richard Nolthinius is an astronomy program chair at Cabrillo College in Santa Cruz, California. In the past 10 years, Richard added climate science to his expertise, teaching a comprehensive course in climate science and its civilization's context. By examining the climate science problem and searching for solutions, he has found it's connected fundamentally to, well, everything. In addition, Richard is a contributing chapter author in Climate Abandoned, We're on the Endangered Species List, and Amazon number one bestseller. Welcome to the show, Rick, and thank you once again for joining us.
Hi, Jill. I lost you there for a minute. I hope you're hearing me.
I'm hearing you just fine.
Okay, great. Yeah, thank you for inviting me on the show. I'm really interested in trying to digest and dissect how media is playing into this whole problem.
Well, thank you for being here, Rick. Our expert guest, who's calling in from Austin, Texas, is Betsy Rosenberg. Betsy Rosenberg's broadcast career in television began for ABC Sports for the Olympics, and then working for two decades in radio as a reporter and anchor with CBS News. Later, she created, hosted, and produced Echo Talk, heard on the Air America radio network, attracting an audience of 50,000, and becoming the first daily green show in broadcast history. During its 10-year run, Betsy interviewed hundreds of Echo leaders in science, politics, culture, business, tech, arts, and activism, from Al Gore and Bernie Sanders to Drs. Jim Henson and Catherine Hayhoe, to CEOs from all the pioneering green companies. Betsy blazed a trail in the field of environmental and climate journalism. She's written for Huffington Post and Medium.com, often about the media's failure to cover climate change. And she, too, is a contributing chapter author in Climate Abandoned, We're on the Endangered Species List, as I mentioned before, a number one Amazon bestseller. To just dive right in, my first question to you, Betsy, why do media managers believe it's not their job to cover climate issues and solutions?
Do you have an hour, Jill? Hi, great to be on your show. Congratulations on the book coming out a year ago, last Earth Day. So
that's a really nice reminder. Boy, has a lot happened, not all of it good, in the last year, building up to this 50th anniversary of the first one. I will get to your question. I just wanted to just acknowledge this moment. There's so much going on, and I just a few minutes ago finished, we can talk about this later, Michael Moore's controversial new film. I haven't even read the reviews yet, but have formed some strong opinions on that. And as I answer your question,
Rick,
I just have to... We need 2 hours for that. But I just was realizing that never in my wildest dreams would I have thought a lot of things that are going on right now, right? All of us. But the fact that I'm going to be defending CNN because they did a climate special last night with Bill Weir, and I'm going to be trashing my... I swear it proves the world is upside down. I've been on CNN's case for years, pitching them a story, a segment, a show, a climate commentary gig for literally 5 years, and it's been every lame excuse in the book, which I'll be happy to mention, but to see it finally happening with, you know, a legitimate, very well-produced 90-minute special was both gratifying and maddening because they could have had it years ago before Bill was assigned the climate beat. So why? Why do they not feel it's their responsibility? If I could tell you that answer, I would have saved myself a lot of agony over two decades, seriously. I started Trash Talk Earth Day 1997, Little Green Minutes on KCBS, since you're broadcasting in Santa Cruz. I grew up in Silicon Valley, in Saratoga, so I feel like I'm kind of connected to you and this radio station. Spent a lot of beach days in Santa Cruz, but I really just felt that it was, you know, a good program to put on. They talked about the problems and the solutions. It's high time, but I just am floored by this film. So I'm going to try to get past that. The question you ask is, why don't they see it as their responsibility? And the answers are a combination, to the best of my knowledge. I would love to prove it, but based on my direct experience, again, pitching and getting mostly lame excuses, if any response at all, and I'm not just talking about the cable news networks, but even the big corporate ones, CBS, ABC, and NBC, and even MSNBC, which is supposed to be the progressive news network, they feel, first of all, up until about 2 years ago, their reason, quote reason, was their viewers weren't interested. Every time they mentioned climate change, supposedly, people tuned out. And I always question that, because how do they know? They never really did any sustained coverage. And my radio show, as you kindly mentioned, which was on 10 to 15 years ago on the old Air America with no marketing at all, quickly grew to 50,000 listeners a night. So they made the show from weekly to daily. So no one else has done a daily green show, radio or TV. So I always question that. So it's partly they don't think it would be popular. Partly they don't know what they don't know, that these environmental issues and climate change, of course, being the great exacerbator, the mother of all of our ecological system declines, that it's urgent, it's fascinating, it's complex, it's interconnected. And the people behind the solutions, because I did Sound Solutions for a Healthier Planet and People, as you said, interviewing hundreds of eco-innovators, inspiring and formative leaders of all stripes, that they are passionate, knowledgeable, and should be heard. That's reason one. They don't know what they don't know. Ignorance, and the other is arrogance. They don't ever think that they need anybody from the outside, nor do they have anybody on the inside. Again, Bill Weir just recently went from the outdoor correspondent to the climate correspondent. Good, where they've been all these years, and there's much more than one correspondent could, you know, ever cover. So it's that they, if they do anything, they'll take
I'm
a general
not hearing
reporter
Betsy
and then.
Anymore.
Okay, they'll take a general reporter and have them do a story on climate, you know, sea level rise, et cetera. But guess what? As soon as, and then they'll also have climate deniers on, and then as soon as a reporter will say something factually, grossly on the, you know, host, the anchor, not at all skilled in these issues, will not push back. So there's a lot of problems with them just using their own people. I think I better let someone else talk for a while, but we can get back. There's a few more bad reasons as well.
Well, I'm thinking, Rick. Rick, can you hear us? You still?
Yeah, I can. I get dropouts once in a while, but as long as you can hear me, then that's great.
Yes,
you know, Steve Jobs had a great quote, and that is, "Well, how will people know what they want until I show it to them?" And while that sounds very arrogant, I think that there's a grain of truth there that media should pay attention to, and that is that, yeah, people don't know what they don't know, but they also don't know what they don't want to hear. And when Steve Jobs had these great products come out, people realized, oh, you know what? I do need that. A phone that I can stick in my pocket? That's, you know, et cetera. The point is that people aren't... If media just asks, what do you want? And people say, well, I don't know. I'm wanting something, but maybe you could show me what would be great. And media just says, well, no, we just want to cater and to pander to whatever it is you want right now. I think it's a recipe for going nowhere. And that's certainly where we've gone on trying to solve climate, because, you know, the environmental movement's been out there for 50 years, and look at the trend in CO2. I mean, I challenge you to look at the CO2 readings, the Keeling curve, and see any change at all in not just the slope, but the acceleration in that slope. It is a perfect curve. So something's missing, and that's what I think that I'd really like to pay attention to, is what are the things that we're really missing? I don't think it's education about, you know, the things you can do at home. And, of course, there's things you can do at home, and they'll make you feel good. And I would never advise against those, but they're not going to solve the problem.
Betsy, what do you think is missing?
Oh, my gosh, so much. It's first of all, it's the solutions that's missing. I focus mostly on broadcasting, but it is, as you mentioned, radio, not only network television, because over 90% of talk radio is conservatives, Rush Limbaugh, et cetera. What could possibly go wrong? So when they do mention it, again, mostly in, but I have a newspaper example, too, a very telling one. But just very quickly, the reason the, you know, ratings may have gone down, if that's even true, and it was, you know, something that I heard a year or two ago, not so much now. How can they say people aren't interested when all the polls show it, people are concerned, finally, majority of Americans, even Republicans, and, of course, with the Green New Deal and AOC, and it's become, finally, a campaign issue, you know, better late than never. So what's missing always is what we can do about it. So, of course, people are going to get paralyzed and, you know, tune out. Now, the funny thing, if we can get into the whole COVID versus climate change media response, night and day, right? Nothing is scarier than this pandemic. That doesn't prove that if people are scared, they won't listen. You can't say, well, there's nothing we can do about climate change. Au contraire. And guess what? It's more than just washing your hands and social distancing. And if people know that there are so many things that not only can be done, but must be done at all levels, from, you know, citizens, communities, companies, countries, all that. So that's what's missing, is I think, the key thing. And just quickly, San Jose Mercury News, since that's within your listening range, the editor there said on a panel at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco about 5 years ago, they were talking about climate change and environmental coverage at their paper, and someone in the audience, not even me, said, why don't you ever cover solutions? Like, you don't talk about the good news. And he said, I'm trying to remember his name now, Paul, it'll come to me, that's not our job. That's not up to us. That's up to Greenpeace and the Sierra Club. And I went up to him afterwards, because it was the last question, and I said, well, guess what? The environmental groups, the nonprofits, they do their best to reach people, but they reach the choir, the people who are already concerned. And it's everybody else that we have to reach if we're going to move the needle, right? Because, unfortunately, environmental activists have not been in the mainstream enough. Hopefully more Americans are seeing themselves as needing to get involved, because the government's taking us only off a cliff. But that was really telling to me. He says it's not our job. So if it's up to the green NGOs, and they can only reach the people who are, you know, signing up to be members because they're already concerned, nothing wrong with that, but that is the margins. It's not the mainstream. So what could go wrong? Nobody is educating American adults about what's going on with our collapsing ecosystems. And that's why I have felt strongly, no, I've been obsessed with the fact that that is one of the key missing links, because look what has happened with it. They went from 24/7 covering politics to Bernie who, Joe who, they don't even mention the election now. It's all pandemics 24/7. And they barely mention climate change. If they do, and yes, the 50th anniversary warranted 90 minutes, that's good. But it's got to be sustained coverage. That's what's missing.
Well, this is a good time to take a break, because it is a pledge drive at KSQD. This is KSQD's Spring Pledge Drive. We want to be here for you 24/7, 365 days a year, providing essential information like candidate debates and entertainment calendars in normal times, and public health announcements in extraordinary times like these. Unlike many stations that get government support, we rely solely on our local community to keep us afloat. That's why we appeal to you twice a year to make sure we can pay our bills. We also run on a lean, volunteer-hosted 24/7 budget model to maximize the use of your donations. This is a time like no other we can remember. It requires we stretch to make sure when we return to a semi-normal state, the things we love are still there, like community radio. Our community worked so hard to create KSQD, donating over $300,000 to buy a license and equipment to start our own station. Now our task is keeping the squid afloat. With your help, we've done that and will continue to do that.
Thanks, Jill. Hi, I'm Emily Dunham here. I am the producer of Santa Cruz Naturalist, and I am here in the studio. And I just wanted to reiterate what Jill just mentioned. We are in the middle of our 2020 spring pledge drive, and we have currently received over $18,000 worth of donations, and we're hoping that we can reach $19,000 by the end of the day. So we only need a few more pledges, and right now we actually have a matching pledge going on. So we have a little bit more money left in that. So if you donate by the end of this evening, your pledge will actually be worth twice as much. So I just want people to take a moment to consider what you're paying for all of those different sources of media in your life, whether they be Netflix or music subscription services. And just think about what K-Squid is worth to you. Maybe it's $5 a month. Maybe it's $10 a month. Whatever you can meaningfully do, anything really helps us. So you can give us a call here at 831-900-5773, or you can go online to ksqd.org and subscribe there. So we'll be back to Be Bold America after this brief message.
KSQD thanks attorney Ned Hearn for supporting this program. Ned Hearn specializes in intellectual property and business law, with a focus on entertainment, internet, and computer software business, and their convergence, intersecting content, media, and technology in the digital environment. More info at www.internetmedialaw.com. Thank you, Ned Hearn, for supporting KSQD 90.7 FM.
All right, Jill, now back to you.
Thank you. And Emily, since I'm a volunteer, you can put me down for $100. I want to pledge right now on the radio show that $100 from this volunteer right now.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Thank you, Jill.
You're welcome, Emily. You're listening to Be Bold America on KSQD 90.7 FM, Many Voices, One Station. Listen worldwide online at ksqd.org. I'm your host, Jill Cody. Today our topic is climate collusion. Is the anemic news coverage of the crisis ignorance or intentional? We're speaking with Betsy Rosenberg, former reporter and anchor with CBS News, and Dr. Richard Nolfinius, astronomy department chair at Cabrillo College. Richard, I thought I'd hand it over to you next. Thoughts?
Yeah, so I wanted to remind Betsy, I'm sure she remembers as well, the days of Walter Cronkite and Eric Severide. And one of the comments that I remember them saying is that, you know, in our day, we thought of news as a duty, a civic duty, and we didn't think about profit margins, and we did what we had to do to try and get out the news accurately. And I can't help but believe that the radical change that we've had in the appreciation of science and the appreciation, really, of facts in general, is because so many media companies have gone public, and now their stocks are traded. And now we have to obey what Wall Street wants. And what Wall Street wants is high profit margins. And that means you cut back on things like expensive investigative journalists. And you instead, you go for, you know, what bleeds, what leads. That attitude, of course, is only going to hurt our education. You know, I run up against problems as well when I try and tell people, you know what, if you really want to understand climate science, you have to read the actual journal papers. You can't even get it from the IPCC because they, too, are politically influenced by the UN, which is run by the most climate, really the most carbon abusive countries on Earth, and their goal is economic growth. It seems obvious that economic growth on a finite planet must end, and this is the conversation that no one wants to have, including the media. I wonder what you have to say about how that might be affecting the media's treatment of what it is you're trying to achieve, which is very good. You want to educate people on how serious it really is out there.
Betsy?
Yes. Hi. I just wasn't sure if you were talking to me, Rick. Of course, I have some thoughts on that. You know, it's corporate media, so people, my activist friends always say, what do you expect, Betsy, as if I'm being naive, and maybe I am. But I also, because I was, if you'll pardon the expression, raised in corporate media, I started my career right out of college. And, yes, I do remember Eric Severide, Rick, and Walter Cronkite, but I was a kid. But I do remember the first Earth Day. I was a freshman in college, so do the math. But it's been, you know, a long time that we've been kind of playing with the environmental issue as kind of an altruistic thing. But we have kicked the carbon can, you know, way too long here, that it's just got to be dealt with in a very direct way. We can't do it incrementally. We can't whisper about it anymore. So, yes, I do think that is part of the answer, because they are corporate. My husband always reminds me, Betsy, you're pitching Jeff Zucker, you know, ambushing him at the CNN lounge at Sundance every year. But even though he's the top gun, there's layers and layers and layers of bureaucracy. And can you imagine any of those programmed executives coming up with, you know, just one good reason why they shouldn't let you on to tell the truth? But that's really not fair, because I, you know, was on CBS when I was on Air America. I know how to make it fair. I won't say fair and balanced, God forbid, but I know what you can and can't say. And I can say the truth without, I'm not just a knee-jerk basher of, you know, fossil fuels. We're all using fossil fuels. So you have to, you know, tell the truth in a way that's responsible. And I know that I can do that because of my background. So having, you know, grown up in corporate media, I was naive in thinking that once the executives understood how interesting and important these issues were, they would want to have these stories and they would look really good. And they would have looked even better if they hired me 5 years ago, 3 years ago. But it's not about me. It's about the elephant in the room. They've been, all of them. And again, newspapers have done a much better job, especially in the last 5 years. New York Times, Washington Post, The Guardian. So again, I'm mostly talking about my area of focus, which is my background, broadcast news. So there's no good excuse or reason, but I get off on kind of pitching them and seeing what lame excuse they can come up with next. And after they did this great program, and Bill Weir, by the way, just had a baby, so he was very emotional about what kind of world is this kid going to grow up into. To me, that's a perfect advertisement for a panel discussion that's on, should be every day, but even once a week, with experts. Why are we not tapping into the wisdom of the experts? That's the kind of programming I've been pushing for.
Yeah, if you read my chapter in Climate Abandoned, then you know the connection between economic growth and global GDP and how much energy that we have to use. So there was this this brilliant insight from Tim Garrett, which I've now expanded upon, and I thought I put in a pretty good chapter into our book. All three of us, of course, contributed greatly to this book. And the idea is that if you sum the total GDP of all of history, not just this year, but all of history, that number is proportional to how much energy you have to consume, the rate at which you consume energy today. And so as long as we insist on economic growth, the amount of energy that we're going to have to consume is only going to go up and up and up. We live on a finite planet. There is no other planet that we can live on. People who think we're going to somehow terraform Mars are delusional. As an astronomer, I can tell you that for sure. And it's hubris and it is delusional. And we don't want to face that, because what that means is it might affect our paycheck today. There's this great paper by Brooks et al. Showing that the rate of occurrence of psychopaths among corporate CEOs is 21 times higher than among the average, well, among the public. The public, that is about 1%. Sounds about right to me. 21% in corporate CEOs. And I think it's because boards realize that having a sense of morality is a hindrance to profit. Doesn't mean that every single CEO out there is a psychopath. Doesn't mean there aren't business people who are trying to do the right thing. But that's telling, don't you think? I mean, we're not making any real progress here. I go back to looking at what the climate scientists are actually telling us. And they're saying we're heading towards deep tipping points. They won't kill the entire planet, so there's the guy McPherson's out there, and those guys are wrong. But it's going to be far more than just an inconvenience. We're talking about hundreds of millions, if not billions, of people who will have to evacuate the tropics when temperatures rise above the point that humans and crops can grow. And those days are fast approaching. We have not made any dent at all in it, despite the ecology movement given birth to back when we were you know, in high school and in college, and had all this great optimism that the world would change. Would we have ever thought that here in the year 2020, we'd be looking at what we're looking at now, that we'd be looking at the government we have now? So what my interests have slowly migrated away from pure understanding of climate science, although of course I do that, but towards the deeper problems. What is it about the human species? What is it about the civilization thermodynamic system that guides us towards what seems to be an inevitable collapse? I don't think that if we just, you know, put a bucket in the shower and we put more solar panels on and so forth, that that's really going to solve things. It might bend the curve a little bit, might delay things a little bit, but there's the tipping points that are being triggered now in the Arctic. There's soils drying and giving off more CO2. There's deforestation happening at about one football field per second. And those things aren't really getting addressed. I have a feeling of a bit of desperation in trying to communicate as, I guess, as passionately and strongly as I can while I still can. I have the luxury of being an academic, and so my paycheck is not coming from private industry that way. But I see corporate capitalism as, boy, you know, I used to be a registered libertarian. Can you believe that? So I have to tell you, I'm wrong. I was wrong. I've changed, you know, quite a while back.
You were,
I changed,
you were, but you were.
Yes, I was. And there's few people, unfortunately, are willing to look at themselves and look at what they think and believe and do that. I mean, I have a whole family who, you know, is still lost down that black hole. We can't even have a conversation. It's frustrating.
Conversations is all that, you know,
saying,
we need to have. Go ahead, sorry.
Rick, in that I did, you know, Earth Day's been around for 50 years. If you were 10 years old at the first one, doesn't that mean they're 60 now? And I did 12 Earth Day family festivals in downtown San Jose myself about 20, 25 years ago, you know, about 12 of them. And I, too, see absolutely no change with the general public. And it seems that it is important to people but not urgent. And it seems that human behavior is on the urgent side. Betsy?
Well, look at the... there's so much to say. Coronavirus versus climate. I just did an article called Maybe We Should Call It the Climate Virus. And that's not in any way to downplay the seriousness of this pandemic. By the way, most people aren't aware that there are definite, and I'm sure Rick knows, environmental underpinnings to, you know, make more pandemics in the future and make them more frequent and more deadly. That's not getting talked enough about. But you look at how fearful we all are, as we should be, by this virus, you know, like climate change invisible, but the damage is certainly anything but it's the opposite response. And I think what that says is a lot of things, but one of the key issues, I think, is it shows that people have not felt personally endangered by the climate crisis and the warming oceans. We haven't even mentioned that yet. Oh, my God. Extinction. Okay, all ecosystems are in collapse. Why are we not taking that seriously? That's a very good psychological, sociological question. We know a lot of it has been, you know, I call it the deniosaurs have been funded by the Koch brothers and Republicans and libertarians, and these backward people somehow leading our nation are out to do everything they can to take us backwards on environmental progress, rolling back CAFE standards, rolling back, you know, restrictions on methane. It's insanity, right? And they're doing the same thing with COVID. You know, obviously Trump is telling us to drink the Lysol. You know, they've drunk the Kool-Aid. So the American people are being duped. They unfortunately are now paying attention. So the hope is that as we're in this great pause, we can begin to have a conversation while everybody's captive at home. You can only binge on Netflix, you know, so long, or watch stupid distraction TV so long, to have a conversation that is sober and serious and mature, because look what we've learned. We've learned that we need to listen to science, look at the consequences of not taking action early, all these things that are being discussed right now. Sunday morning shows, and I heard quotes that, you know, you could say exactly are true about climate, but things like we're all in the same boat. Yeah, we've been in the same sinking boat with, you know, warming atmosphere and oceans. We were asleep at the wheel so long, you know, a legitimate criticism. Yes, and it to me, it's kind of I guess it's become a sport for me to, you know, monitor these shows and take notes and just contrast different responses. So I'm trying to, I guess, say that this is an opportunity that we have now to really shift the balance. Because if, and I don't know if any of you heard Dr. Peter Daszak, he was on Democracy Now! Last week, and he was this morning on Fareed Zakaria. He's a disease ecologist with the Center for Eco Health. Check it out. Interestingly, on Democracy Now!, and you've got a progressive radio show, so this, I think, will be interesting, and then I'll catch a breath here. But on Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman, Dr. Daszak, and he is the premier virologist in the world, and he talked about how if we don't start taking better care of our environment, we're going to have a sicker planet, and that's going to mean sicker people, that there's definitely connection, of course, between what's going on with, you know, encroaching development into wildlife habitats and humans and animals being closer together, leading to more viruses moving, you know, jumping across human to animals, and also just how we have little disregard as we develop and grow and consume, you know, for the natural world. So he made that connection very strongly on Democracy Now! Do you know that this morning on Fareed Zakaria's show, even though they did put his title, President of the Center for Eco Health, Fareed Zakaria, and I lost a lot of respect for him today, did not ask one question about the ecological side, the environmental side. Interestingly, Dr. Daszak, in what was probably a 10-minute interview, didn't say any of the things he said on Amy's show. He's very respectable, was talking about the connection, you know, bat viruses, and was it in a lab? He says not, or from a, you know, wet market, but nothing about, you know, the, if we don't take care of it, we're just going to set ourselves up for more pandemics. And what he did say, last comment from Amy's interview, was if we think that we're going to have a vaccine and this is going to be over, we are severely, dangerously deluded. And it was remarkable to me that, you know, same week, time, same expert won the progressive radio program, you know, got the side of it that I think is most interesting and important. And even though Fareed Zakaria said that was very illuminating, Dr. Daszak afterwards wasn't illuminating at all. They buried the lead. And I just find that telling as well.
Rick?
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Yes. Well, it sounds like there's an echo problem, so I turned down my speaker. I can just barely hear. Maybe I should bring it up a little bit. Hey,
okay.
Technology in the COVID age. yeah, I lost my train of thought there for a second.
You sound fine at this end.
Yeah, so is the echo problem okay? Because that was what I heard from our second
line of
communication.
It's okay now. I was hearing it, but now I'm not.
Okay, well, I turned my speaker down a little bit, and I also unplugged my lapel mic, so that may have helped. I'm really interested in how it is that the Republicans are so incredibly resistant. They have a Wonder Woman shield that is impregnable to knowledge, and there's studies showing that the more you try and show them convincing scientific evidence, the less that they are interested, well, the more they dig in their heels and the more resistant they get to accepting the reality of human-caused climate change. The other thing I wanted to say earlier was that if you look at the number of people in the U.S. who identify with environmentalism, that number's been going down. It's been going down dramatically. It was as high as 78% back in 1992, and it's down to only 42% as of a couple of years ago. Can't but believe it's probably even lower today. So there's a conflict with the fact that we live in a finite planet. People perceive that actually dealing with climate change is going to require a lot more than free market solutions. It's going to require strong government action. And I firmly believe that is true. So if the Republicans think it's going to require firm government action, I think they're absolutely right. I think the progressives need to get on board with that too. And I think there's one of our problems is trying to pander to people who think that, oh, well, we can have it all. We can have economic growth and we can solve our climate problems. And we're just not really going to be able to do that, not on a finite planet. There are resources that still need to be mined.
And this is a good time to do a pledge break. Sorry, Rick. This is KSQD's Spring Pledge Drive. We know it's a difficult and uncertain time and that many are experiencing financial hardship. But if you're doing okay, we'd like to ask for your support. If you pledge in the past, thank you. But that may have been a year ago, and our bills are due monthly. KSQD is here for you in good times and bad, with a local connection and essential information. Please consider a sustaining donation of $5 or $10 per month, or adding a little extra to your donation for a friend or community member who can't donate now. You can even make a donation in honor of a friend or family member, and we'll read their name on the air. Emily?
Thanks, Jill. Yeah, we are really close to meeting our daily goal. We're only a couple $100 short, so we can really use your help. And I just really urge people to take a moment to make your donation to Community Radio at K-Squid. You can make a sustaining donation of $5, $10, or $20 a month, which really helps us out. And join hundreds of other folks just like you who understand the value of local live community radio here at K-Squid. We're just over a year old, and we want to be here for the duration. So please go online to ksqd.org, or you can give us a call at 831-900-5773 and make your pledge today. It feels really great knowing you gave the gift of community information and music to all of our listeners, and it's much, much appreciated. After this brief break, we'll get back to Be Bold America.
I'm no good at being noble, but it doesn't take much to see that the problems of three little people don't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy world.
Oh, I love this part. It's always so sad. Humphrey Bogart.
No.
He looks at her and he says...
He's looking at you, kid.
Here's looking at you, Squid. K-Squid, 90.7 FM.
All right, back to you, Jill.
Well, thank you, Emily. And since we're doing this show from our homes, my husband just walked in and said he's now donating $100, and that would be in Jerry Grimes' name. So there's another $100 for you.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Be Bold America on KSQD 90.7 FM. Our topic is climate collusion. Is the anemic news coverage of the crisis ignorance or intentional? And we're speaking with Betsy Rosenberg, former reporter and anchor with CBS News, and Dr. Richard Nolthenius, astronomy department chair at Cabrillo College. I'm your host, Jill Cody. Now back to our bold and impressive guests. Betsy, so it's a combination between intentional and arrogance, or is it unintentional, intentional, and arrogance? What...
Dan Jones has a show on CNN, and I interviewed him on my program on World Environment Day in San Francisco, June of 2005, gave him the idea to use green collar jobs. He ran with it, got Obama's attention, became the green job czar, and got hired by CNN, and he's got the show that I was dreaming of back in 2005. Oh, well, the reason I mention that is because he's been kind of my insider source in terms of telling me why they don't want someone like with my experience, and he cares about green issues, but he, you know, he's busy. He's doing his political show, and he's got the cause of, you know, the prison population and all that, all good causes, but he kind of got less green when he got on CNN. That's one of the reasons I think they could use someone with that experience. The point being that he's told me kind of off the record that, you know, they just won't do it. They just won't do it. They just think it's going to be a bummer and that their viewers are going to switch over to Fox. That's the real reason. Now, that to me is the worst possible reason in the world, because people who switch over to Fox or watch Fox at all, we should be catering to them as our planet dies, as our children's future and grandchildren's future looks grim and dark. I have a daughter who's 25. I always, because she's our only, I wanted to have grandchildren. I will be lucky and grateful if we have one. And that will be tinged with such sadness. So I have gotten very angry between now and the election. I think we all should be and be as vocal as we can, because if there's even a chance that Trump could win again, that is like the craziest thing ever. Drink Lysol, people. Who wants more of that? I think he's been shown to be the mentally incompetent, maybe ill. I mean, I'll say that. Okay, who does this, right? Nobody. If there's any chance that the Republicans can prevail in November, it's all over. I mean, turn off the lights and close the door. So I want to encourage all your listeners, and by the way, in honor of the 50th anniversary birthday, I'd like to pledge $50. It'd be more, but I haven't seen a paycheck since I left KCBS in 2007. Independent radio can take you into the red if you're really passionate about green issues. So congratulations on that. So I just think we have to speak up, make sure there's no chance in heck, because if they win again, we don't have any chances. Rick?
Yeah. Well, yeah, there was this great study done that showed that people who watch Fox News actually know even less than people who watch no news at all. So how sad is that?
Well, because they're disinformed.
So, yeah, exactly. I feel the same way, Betsy. I mean, that is such a poor excuse for not doing anything. And it all gets back to there seems to be in business and corporate media, there is one and only one prime directive, and that is, you know, get the money. And if that means truth takes a back seat or even thrown out the back window, then that's what happens. Now, to solve this, we really need to solve that. We need to address this somehow. I tell you, I've come totally 180 degrees around from my old libertarian days when I read Atlas Shrugged as a teenager and was all inspired and the men of the mind and A is A and, you know, all that good stuff, and, you know, only to find that, of course, they were betraying that whole notion left, right, and center. If so much, I think, needs to be funded happily through taxpayers in order to really have a chance at getting the real truth. You know, as long as we are catering to the lowest common denominator, as long as a person with no integrity and no intelligence gets the same voting power as somebody who is the most wise and the most benevolent, then unfortunately that's going to continue. And then I guess all we can do is try and educate people as best we can. You know, 33% of Republicans, only 33% of Republicans think that universities and colleges are actually a good to society. I was amazed when I read that recently. It's a trend that's been ongoing. That's what we have to fight against. So if we can't get media on board to do that and see further ahead than their media profits, maybe we should pass a law that large-scale media companies can't be public corporations. You know, if you're going to take on that kind of responsibility, that you may simply need to forego the possibility for everything that you want, including being a public corporation.
Rick raised a point of the finances. Can I say a few things about that? Like, is that the motive?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so, you know, of course, I'm not naive. I know that, you know, Exxon, the fossil fuel industry, does a lot of advertising on the networks. They claim that doesn't influence them. Who knows? But what I have said for years to them directly, you don't have to have Exxon be your sponsor. Do you know how many green companies are out there who would give anything to be on CNN if it was associated with a credible, solutions-oriented green show? Solar companies, electric car companies, organic food companies. Have you been to Natural Foods, Natural Products Expo in LA? There's thousands of companies trying to get their product out there. We could easily get rid of the fossil fuel advertisers and have plenty of to show. So that's not an excuse as far as I'm concerned, and I let them know that that doesn't seem to be enough. I think what it really is today, if I forgot to mention this, I'd be kicking myself. Look at what they're afraid of. They can't be dumb. They can't be that ignorant. They're news leaders, right? Global news leaders. They don't want to have a truthful conversation about what's going on with capitalism and how if we don't continue with unchecked growth and overconsumption that, you know, we're going to have to change everything in America that looks like right now. What's going on with people not flying all over the place and driving all over the place and, you know, buying crap we don't need? Everything that COVID has done for us, and isn't it interesting that we've been burning the planet's lungs and Mother Nature is burning our lungs now and giving us a big fat time out and saying, you know, I want you to go to your room and think about what you're doing to me. And I really believe in that. That's what gives me hope right now. And I, you know, I could get spiritual, but I think we can all see that something is definitely shifting. And I would say when I get so angry at Trump and all that garbage, I just say, okay, thank you. Somebody is making this all the dirty side of America, the underbelly, the ignorance, the stupidity, the preoccupation with dumb shit. Can I say that? Sorry, dumb stuff.
No.
Dumb stuff, sorry. The preoccupation with that is killing us. We're distracting ourselves to death as we head for a climate cliff. So that's what's got to stop, and guess what? It just did. So we need to rebuild. We need to come back, you know, in a much cleaner, greener way. It's not simple. I don't mean to sound oversimplistic, but let's have a conversation nationally right now on how we come back. And, of course, they're going to say, we can't deal with climate change. We've got a, you know, coronavirus pandemic. Well, guess what we're going to have more of? So I urge your listeners to be very vocal and say to any friends or family members who still think they might vote Republican, you like extreme weather events? Vote Republican. You want more pandemics? More. Worse pandemics. Vote Republican. I can say that because look at them across the board. None of them voted for impeachment. None of them support action on climate change, maybe one or two exceptions. Democrats aren't perfect. And forget libertarians, because they don't want any government. You know, if ever there was a role for government, we see that now. So I just think, and the last thing I do not want to neglect to say is Media Matters just came out with their latest statistics on mainstream media coverage, primarily the television news networks, in 2019. Guess how much it was? All their climate coverage. What percentage of their whole coverage do you think climate change stories were? Any guess?
Half of 1%.
Very close, 0.07 in 2019, and that was after the IPCC report came out and after we've been told we have a decade. So I say if we've got a decade to get off our gases, cut our emissions in half, and we're not having a national conversation about how the heck to do that, what could possibly go wrong? I mean, there's just no way. People don't know what to do, and there's no easy thing to do, but we should have a panel discussion on pros and cons of nuclear energy in this moment we're in, pros and cons of GMO. That's not happening anywhere except maybe on, you know, Democracy Now!, but the problem is those people get it. We need to reach the people who are now concerned. Maybe we have their attention and help show that it's in their hands, their future is going to be connected to this, that we need to make it personal health and planetary health are connected. And that's the opportunity I see here to make those connections.
I think some very different things that I think would help in messaging. And I think we're coming up against a break. Is that right, Jill? Or are we good?
We're coming up against a break at 5:50, but you have a couple of minutes.
Couple of minutes,
one
okay.
One thing I did want to say, Rick, when you were talking about your surprise with 33% of Republicans supporting college education, is that for years, Rush Limbaugh has talked about the four corners of deceit, and this is a certain, you know, propaganda message that is out in the conservative world. The four corners of deceit, over and over again, he says, is science, media, academia, and government. So
yeah, they're converting us just like
messaging.
It's straight out of 1984.
Yes,
the novel.
Yeah.
So with the 1.5 minutes I might have, I think what we need to do is to go around the usual psychological defenses. I think if you go right at Republicans with facts and knowledge and with evidence and so forth, you continue to get nowhere. Yet you have to completely go around them. In fact, good psychologists, good psychotherapists know this, that you can't attack somebody's defenses head on because they're too well built. You have to go around them. And one way to go around them, I think, is through art. I would love to see a film that is created that is along the same lines as that classic Stanley Kramer movie, On the Beach, and what that did for our understanding of what a nuclear war really meant. Because it wasn't all about, you know, death and mayhem and explosions. It was a very quiet, very human film, and it brought people down to the personal, and it showed what it would be like to watch the world die. We need something like that for climate. It'll have to be intelligently written, because obviously climate change happens over a longer time scale. We have to connect our children and our grandchildren to it. I think if you can't get people to respond to love for their children, then they're truly gone, and probably you can't do anything with them except find a way to prevent them from ever voting. Harsh as that sounds, there are these deep things that I think you can appeal to through art. We have pleasure triggers from the dopamine and the serotonin and then the long-term neocortex reward systems that we have built in. We should go for all three of those, as we talked about in a previous show, Jill.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Be Bold America on KSQD 90.7 FM. Many voices, one station. Listen worldwide online at ksqd.org. The topic we're discussing today is climate collusion. Is the anemic news coverage of the crisis ignorance or intentional? And we're speaking with Betsy Rosenberg, former producer and host of Echo Talk, and Dr. Richard Nolthenius, Astronomy Department Chair at Cabrillo College. I'm your host, Jill Cody. Now, we have just about 4 minutes to do our keep, stop, start. So Betsy, regarding this topic, what could listeners keep doing, stop doing, start doing to support your efforts?
Thank you for asking. First of all, I invite your listeners to go to my website. There's like 5,000 radio shows there. They're all 12 to 15 years old, but they're all current because, you know, we haven't been talking about these things enough. You'll see a lot of familiar faces and names. They weren't so prominent then. Scientists, activists, you name it. And just scroll down under broadcast, and whatever topic interests you, please listen, because I had the best and the brightest, and that's what kept me going. I was, you know, just learning so much from these people. And I hate waste. That's what got me started with Trash Talk 23 years ago, Earth Day, and so I'd hate to waste all that great wisdom that's there. So that's one resource. If you think that suing Sean Hannity and Fox News is a good idea, I'm pretty much convinced that it has to be done, because there is a lawsuit, as you may know, underway right now against Hannity and Fox for reckless endangerment, for lying and deceiving the public, and that's a dangerous thing. And every time I read about it, I just substitute lying about climate change. I've been on Hannity's show 15 times, radio and TV, and it's a circus, right? Why do I bust if 1% of their vast audience, they're still the number one network, and if you think
so
that
you
them
know, you
deny-
have 30 seconds left.
Okay. We've got to stop the denial in their tracks. Then we need to fill the void in mainstream media with solutions content. That's what I urge people to do.
Wonderful. Rick, in the last 15 seconds?
Yeah, well, we need to start a revolution. And I think we have to appeal to the desire of people, young people, to be like the rebel alliance against the massive empire. And we need a 28th Amendment to the Constitution, which guarantees safe commons for all future generations. We need to give power to future generations right now. They just take what we give them. That's not good enough.
I want to thank Bold America's engineer, Emily Dunham, and give another big thank you to our bold guests, Betsy Rosenberg and Dr. Richard Nolthenius. Thank you all. Your expertise is very much appreciated. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Betsy.
Thank you, Jill.
Next
go for
on
the
Be
Jill.
Bold America. You're welcome. Next on Be Bold America will be the pandemic and democracy. Tune in for an interview with Peter J. Levin, who holds a doctorate in science from Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, and who was executive director of the Stanford University Medical Center. Don't miss hearing The Pandemic and Democracy on Sunday, May 10th at 5 p.m. If you missed any part of this program or would like to hear any previous programs, you may find them all on the KSQD website, or they are now on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breakers, Radio Public, and Pocket Casts. You're listening to KSQD Santa Cruz. Many voices, one station. Listen worldwide online at ksqd.org. Stay tuned for Faith Matters with Seth Shapiro, immediately following our next pledge break. My name is Jill Cody, and thank you for listening to Be Bold America. Until next time, keep, stop, start.